Please join me in prayer before we think a little deeper. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word to us in the scriptures. We thank you for the wisdom of Solomon and the even greater wisdom of our Lord Jesus. We pray that you would grow wisdom in us as we listen to your word today through your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's an author you may or may not have heard of. His name was Richard Carlson. And they say in his lifetime, Richard Carlson sold 40 million books. Books with snappy titles like Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, bestseller in 135 countries. Books that you will still find in the self-improvement section at Dimmock's. Books full of quotable gems like, people will soon forget what you said and did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Which I guess is kind of true. Now, to be honest, books full of pithy little statements like that are pretty much a dime a dozen. The self-help section at Dimmick's is full of them. People are hungry for wise words of timely advice, for clear words that can help chart a course through a complex life. And at first glance, if you've ever looked at it, the book of Proverbs looks like just one more collection of zippy sayings. I'm reminded at this point of Benjamin Franklin's famous Old Moore's Almanac, which was very much the same, where he says, among other things, that visitors, like fish, go off after 3 days. Which after our last 2 weeks with grandkids maybe rings a little bit true, but the good news is we all survived. In the book of Proverbs, you'll find gems that are still in use today, like iron sharpens iron, or pride goes before a fall, which I never quite understood, or go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn wisdom, which my dad used to always bring out when I didn't want to mow the lawn on a Saturday afternoon. But before we go too much further in our journey into the book of Proverbs, there are just a few things we need to think through. Often you'll find a proverb is a tool rather than a rule. And you've got to know when to use the axe and when to use the saw. Or otherwise, you might end up sounding like a fool. Or worse than that, incredibly insensitive. Because the thing about proverbs is that they don't always work. They never come with a 100% guarantee, because that's not the way wisdom functions, nor life itself. Sometimes in life, things go better than they should against all the odds, against what a proverb might say. Sometimes the reverse. So let me give you a little example. Proverbs 26, verse 27. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. Now look, I guess the wisdom of that lies in metaphor. You can ask Novak Djokovic, maybe, whether in the last few weeks he dug himself a bit of a hole when it came to his plans to play in Australia. Although plenty of times, metaphorically and otherwise, people do dig themselves into holes or roll big rocks, and it works out just fine, in spite of the proverb. Sometimes on face value a proverb seems to offer a guarantee, like Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old he will not depart from it. And yet in your own life experience, sadly it's far different perhaps. And so you may have raised your kids and poured your life into them, and who knows? Now he's estranged from you. Now she's struggling with a drug habit. Or he got in with the wrong crowd as a teenager and now he's doing time in jail. And so you're thinking, Proverbs says it's all my fault. Or worse than that, self-righteous friends who'll wag their fingers behind your back and say, well, they should have paid more attention to Proverbs 22 verse 6 when he was younger. But the fact is, as a book, Proverbs acknowledges exactly that. Especially, we'll see in the opening chapters, that life is complex. And young men especially are urged to make wise choices of their own. So here's the thing. If you have used any sort of proverb in your life, from the Bible or otherwise, you'll kind of already know. The trick is to actually know when to use it and when not to. Most proverbs are just observations, handy generalizations, and the wisdom comes in knowing when to apply which proverb. When to pull out haste makes waste, and so slow down. Or when to say he who hesitates is lost, and jump in. Because you see, proverbs on their own don't make you wise. You could teach proverbs to a parrot, which means we always need to remember the lesson of Proverbs 26 verse 9 that says, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Real wisdom lies in more than just a few snappy sayings. Real wisdom runs deeper. Real wisdom, Proverbs tells us, and we'll focus on this next week, real wisdom comes fundamentally from fearing the Lord, the God of Israel. And this book, which we're told in chapter 1, verse 1, is a collection from the hand of Solomon, the king of Israel, isn't just a bunch of handy sayings about how to succeed in life as an ancient Israelite, but more importantly, what it's going to look like to fear the Lord, to value what he values, to love what he loves, to hate what he hates. Look at verses 2 to 4 again, and you'll see that's exactly what the book of Proverbs is all about. Here's a book, verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, which isn't just about doing what works in the short term. It's about doing what's fundamentally right, which is ultimately, you see, the difference between the book of Proverbs and the sort of self-help books like Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Because for Richard Carlson, who died a few years ago, his obituary said that his ultimate goal in life was the pursuit of personal happiness. Which, of course, depending on what makes you personally happy, doesn't necessarily involve doing what's right and just and fair at all. Proverbs is not about just doing what works at the expense of other people or about climbing over other people to get ahead in your career. Proverbs is about living a life that is wise because it's gracious and upright and full of integrity. So if you just keep reading into verse 3, here is a book for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. Here's a book for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So you see, even if you're a simple person, even if you're young, the good news is you don't have to learn from your own mistakes. You can learn to be prudent instead. Not only that, you can learn to do what's right to do what's just, to do what in the final analysis is true and fair, which Solomon, the king of Israel, wants his people to know is fundamental to Israel's purpose as the chosen people of God in the first place. There's a passage in Genesis, it's profoundly important, I think, where God spells out exactly why he was choosing for himself a people, exactly why he's choosing Abraham to be the start of a long line of blessing when the rest of the world has gone so wrong. It's Genesis 18, verse 19. "For I have chosen him," says God, and he's speaking about Abraham, "so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he promised him." Now, friends, in the end, that is what real wisdom is going to look like. Not the dishonest shortcuts. Not the fast track to financial freedom. Not the feel-good office romance and cheating on your husband or wife. Those things aren't just wrong, according to Proverbs. They make a fool of you as well. So here's a book that's going to help us do what's right and just and fair, which again means the wisdom of Proverbs is Israel's wisdom for the most mundane situations of life. It's not law like some of the other Old Testament books. It's just straight out street smart wisdom. How you run your farm, how you use your mouth, how you calibrate the scales in your fruit shop, even how you care for your horse. Proverbs 12, verse 10. If you want to be righteous, take a look. "A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel." And we know that, don't we, even these days? The first sign of a psychopath, they say, is how they treat their animals. "These are sayings of the wise," verse 6, collated for the very purpose of guiding our steps to wisdom. The kind of wisdom that in the book of Proverbs is described as woven into the very fabric of the universe. The kind of wisdom that's personified in Proverbs as a woman who delights in God's every creative action from the beginning, and now gives her advice liberally to anyone who'll listen. A wisdom that's more than just knowing a bunch of facts, but knowing how a life rightly lived works. As you've probably observed from experience, a person can have a PhD in nuclear physics and yet virtually no skills for living life. One of the smartest guys I ever met could never remember the name of the suburb he lived in, which always made getting home on the train quite challenging for him. In biblical terms, wisdom is practical knowledge in tune with creation, knowing the right way to react in specific situations. Wisdom is being skilled in the art of living. Wisdom knows what to do next in the face of a confusing array of choices, knowing how to integrate what you know into an effective life strategy. It's not so much a guarantee for any particular outcome, but a knowing how to negotiate the way things are. Remember verse 2? "For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight," which will then help to develop prudence in verse 4, which is that old idea of being wise enough to look before you leap. Didn't make it into the book of Proverbs, but there's that old carpenter's saying, "Measure twice, cut once." That's prudence, which of course wise parents tell their children applies to choosing marriage partners as well as soaring skirting boards, foreseeing possible consequences, mastering impulse control. That's wisdom. And it's a great package. This is a book that comes full of the kind of wisdom that's all about being in tune with the one who designed the system. Wisdom for Israel on not just how to survive in the promised land, but to thrive in it as the people of God by living in a way that was right and just and fair. Which tragically, as you read Israel's story unfolding in the Old Testament, is exactly the kind of wisdom they ignored. And so Proverbs, we'll find, is full of warnings as well. Warnings for mockers, warnings for wayward men with an eye for harlots, warnings for wayward Israel with eyes for idols. And Lady Wisdom, as we'll see, is unsympathetic to fools. And so she says at the end of chapter 1, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Which, interestingly, is exactly what the prophet Hosea says about the nation of Israel as well. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. As ultimately, historically, reaping that whirlwind is exactly what happens as Israel is crushed and sent into exile under God's judgment. Although, of course, God hasn't finished with his goal of blessing the world with a new people who love what's right and just. Gather around a new king in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And look, if you think the wisdom of Solomon is good as we read through the Proverbs, I want you to keep looking forward to the greater wisdom of Jesus. Solomon, king of Israel, was famous around the world, son of the great King David. Famously, when God says to Solomon, ask me for anything you want, Solomon says, I want wisdom. And God grants it. 1 Kings chapter 4 says God gave Solomon a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. That Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and he described plant life and taught about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. The Queen of Sheba in the south came and sat at his feet, listening in awe. This is a very smart guy. And yet, you know, ultimately, as the story plays out, a failure, like Israel, in that, like so many men of genius, he's brought undone by a fatal flaw. Ironically, given his warnings in the book about sex and idolatry, they are the exact things that bring him down. And at best, Solomon can only say, do as I say, but don't do as I do. Ultimately, of course, how much better to have an anointed one from God who's not a letdown at all. We find that in King Jesus. A king worth turning to if you want to know how to live a life that is right and just and fair all the way through. And he won't just tell you with his words, he will show you with his life lived. Matthew chapter 12, we heard it read earlier, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're provoking Jesus for a sign. Show us a trick, they say. Verse 41, Jesus condemns them for their lack of insight. He says, past generations will rise up and condemn you. The people who used to stream from all over the world to listen to Solomon, how much more they'd have given to listen to Jesus. Here's what he says. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. See, friends, if you're asking this morning, how on earth are you going to negotiate your way through the complexities of this life? Where do you start? If your life is a mess because of decisions you've made in the past that you know weren't really wise at all, where do you start in putting things back together? The book of Proverbs is going to help with some practical tips for the people of God. But most important is this. Learn what it means to live under the rule of God's King and learn the wisdom that flows from Him. Because no matter how good Solomon's wisdom is, Jesus is better. Who again is going to speak with a challenging voice about what's really valuable, about where you should put life's price tags. Who says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and trust me and everything else will fall into place. Not necessarily in a life lived smoothly, but certainly in a life lived well with an anchor that holds fast, no matter the circumstances. Because ultimately, he is the one full of the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And ultimately, by that spirit at work in us, teaches us to recognize what's wise and just and right. So no matter how old you are or how young you are or how book smart you are or how slow, we're going to find a wisdom that's never out of reach. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that one greater than Solomon, our Lord Jesus, who not only spoke wisely but lived wisely in every way. We thank you for your mercy expressed in him, the forgiveness that assures us of a firm footing with you, and your spirit that works through your word in our hearts to create true wisdom in our lives. We pray over these coming weeks that you would continue to speak to us through your word, that we indeed might grow in wisdom and grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.